Good morning, Symphony Church. Let's dig into today's word, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar? What do I imply then? That food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, I imply that what pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, without raising any question on the ground of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner, and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any questions on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, for the sake of the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. I do not mean your conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? So, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Amen. Now, in different areas of society, there are rules in place, and if they are broken, there are consequences. For example, do not cheat, or else you'll get detention or even get expelled or suspended. Don't lie to your parents, or else you might get grounded. Now, while not every rule or law may be perfect, I think of my parents who had some ground rules for our household growing up. Although as a kid, I would think that eating my vegetables or doing my homework first was really lame, as an adult, I see how much these things came from my parents' love for me. They had warnings, be careful of this, or else there are the consequences. Similarly, God has given us guidelines and boundaries to live within because there are very real consequences when we live according to the world, when we sin. Paul is sharing with the Corinthians that all these things they read about the Israelites in the Old Testament were written as examples for us so that we might not desire evil as they did in verse 6. It's like when you see those movies where the main character enters an abandoned warehouse or facility that has signs written, warning, danger. Those signs are there for a reason, and as a viewer, you facepalm as they ignore the red flags and head right into imminent danger. Paul is saying flee, flee from idolatry. Idolatry is the danger ahead. Idolatry does not necessarily look like worshiping pagan gods, but in its essence, idolatry is self-seeking. It is desiring what we want over what God wants. Paul lists that the people did what they wanted to do. They indulged in sexual immorality, they put Christ to the test, they grumbled as they held on to their own wants and expectations. And the consequences of sin are real. So flee. It reminds me of Joseph fleeing from Potiphar's wife when he was under temptation, as we saw in Genesis chapter 39. Verse 13 says that God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escaping that you might be able to endure it. When I first read this verse, I remember thinking, yeah, right, Paul. Temptation to love the world and my own ways is so hard to overcome. It didn't feel true that I actually had the ability to endure it. But Paul says that you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord and the table of demons. I love how the Message version says it. It writes, you can't have it both ways, banqueting with a master one day and slumming with the demons the next. And this helped me a lot in my personal struggles with idolatry. I realized that I always had a choice at the end of the day. I can sit and drink with God, or I can sit and drink with demons. I can't do both or rationalize myself into thinking that I can or that my sin isn't that bad. So one question I would ask myself was, do I want temporary happiness or do I want eternal holiness? Again, do I want temporary happiness or eternal holiness? A few years ago, I realized I was pretty addicted to sugar. I love chocolate and I just crave sweets all the time. And realizing how unhealthy my intake was getting, I cold turkey cut out soda, sweets, and any processed sugar treats. And it was really hard at first. My body was adjusting. But once I felt truly cleansed from my dependency on sugar, I came to enjoy and even crave healthier foods a lot more. I started craving fresh fruit and veggies instead of processed foods. I remember the first time I had sweets after, and it tasted so fake and artificial. It was just too much sugar, and I grew a distaste for it. Now, I think that sin is very similar in that way. It has a similar effect on our lives. It can be addicting or taste better than anything in the moment. But once we taste and see God's goodness and the majestic demonstration of His love for us on the cross, that taste for sin turns to disgust and intolerance. So with that, let's take some time today to reflect. What are the sins, idols, and temptations in your life that you are facing in this season? Is there anything you feel led to repent and turn away from? How do you tend to react or behave when you're faced with temptations? Lastly, is there anything that can be changed or adjusted in your life to help you flee from temptation? Perhaps it is memorizing the word, getting an accountability partner, confessing and sharing with a trusted friend, for example. Whatever it may be, let us not forget that God is faithful and that He has sent us the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to help us to live a life of holiness with full trust and surrender in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness. We confess that life can be hard and it's far too easy to live the way that we want to live than to carry up our cross. But God, we know that a life with You is far more purpose-filled and eternal than any other earthly thing can promise us. So no matter what each one of us may be facing today, I pray that You would give us a greater hunger and thirst for Your presence. Help us to lay down our brokenness and shortcomings at the foot of Your cross as we receive Your forgiveness and strength once again. Lord, help us to depend on You today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.